Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about the hiring of Josh Heupel by the Tennessee Volunteers. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville. Trey, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well in the mid-state.
Hope you are as well. And Trey, as you know, never dull in Knoxville. Some more action yesterday. Josh Heupel introduced as the 27th head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. What do you think of this hire? How surprised are you that Josh Heupel is the man in Knoxville?
Yesterday was really surreal. Not a lot of pomp and circumstance around the press conference per se. It was just kind of low key. I think that when we got three and a half days into this thing and they had kind of struck out on some guys that maybe they thought would take the job, they ended up going this route with Josh. And I think that, you know, with Danny White and him taking the job and he talked about it yesterday, I would imagine that Josh Heupel was always in, you know, the back of the pocket, just waiting. Okay, if we strike out here, you know, let's go three or four big coaches. Let's see if we can nail them down. If not, at least I know I have Josh I can fall back on. And I think that's what you saw yesterday. And that's not a knock to his comments of Danny White of saying, look, he was our number one candidate, but we know how this game works. And I think that the University of Tennessee – there were a lot of names out there they probably should have gone after before they probably ended up on Josh Heupel. But at the end of the day, you know what? You need some kind of stability inside the program. And I just think this is a way Danny White can understand what's going on with his football program. He trusts Josh Heupel. And if that's the case, and they're going to try to build up the trust from the fans into the football program and the administration and the university side, then yesterday was a success. But they've got a long way to go, Robbie, a long way to go.
So, Trey, how do you view Josh Heupel's tenure at UCF? Because it does look like it was trending in the wrong direction. It was also a COVID year, which makes evaluations tougher. I mean, how do you take all that information in and evaluate it?
I think there's no getting around the numbers down there in win-loss record and talking with a few folks that, look, it wasn't trending in the right direction. It was going the opposite. I think that when you look at what some of the folks are saying down in Orlando about this with Josh Heupel, I don't know how successful he will be in Knoxville because it kind of felt like things were going the wrong way in Orlando. So when you look at this, it's like, okay, this guy, is it a fresh start in Knoxville? And if it is, Knoxville is a really big market to try to get a fresh start in. I just thought, Joe, to be honest with you, they could have at least kicked the tires on some more candidates before ending up with Josh Heupel, you know, because this is a hire you could have made on Friday. This is a hire you could have made on Monday if you really needed to. I just think they settled too early. And that's just my personal opinion.
Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Trey, a lot of people pointing to the offensive side of things for Josh Heupel. Obviously, some very good numbers, some very successful numbers that Danny White laid out there yesterday in the press conference. As you look at this offense and the philosophy that Heupel brings to the table, what do you think about that at Tennessee and in the SEC? Do you think it can work for the Vols?
I think Tennessee kind of lucked into the situation right now when it comes to quarterback in the way that Josh Heupel runs his offense. I think the Landon Hooker kid from Virginia Tech could be somebody who could run this, Caden Salter. I don't know how much Harrison Bailey really fits into what Josh Heupel does. I'll be interested to see on that front because Harrison Bailey's not a kid that's going to be able to get outside the pocket. You know, run your RPOs. That one kind of intrigues me. I think Tennessee has enough at wide receiver to make things fun, I guess you could say, put up numbers down the field. The offensive line it's going to need work. I think when you look at this, if he can get some players in here to kind of run his system, the running back position for Tennessee is not in the best spot in the world, but they did bring in a few guys that I think could lead them in 2021. I think offensively, look, Tennessee fans have been asking for more offense, I guess, and when you look at what happened with Jim Chaney this past season and the way the quarterback rotation worked out, I think fans will be intrigued to see points put up on the scoreboard, but the problem's going to lie in when the other team's scoring 45 points, how are you trying to keep up with them? So offensively, I think Tennessee fans will like it. Defensively, he's going to have to bring in a staff that's going to be able to stop what the SEC is doing because they're all going this direction now.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you is on staff, because it does feel – it's always important, of course, Trey, to put together a staff. But, I mean, you hear it all the time with coaches, especially coaches who maybe aren't known as, great recruiters on their own. Like, you've got to bring in recruiters. Jeremy Pruitt brought in recruiters. Some of those recruiters have been fired. So, it's an interesting balance in this league, but who do you have anyone in mind who would make sense, and how important is that?
I think it's going to be very important because you've got this in-state class that we're talking about for 2022. And that's why I always thought it'd be interesting how hard it would be if they wanted to go that interim route for a year. That's kind of why I think they had to make this hire. The 2022 class is just so big. I think when you look, and that's what Jeremy Pruitt did. Jeremy Pruitt put a lot of recruiters on the field, so I think position actually got hurt in the long run. Like Brian Niedermeyer at the inside linebacker spot, I think those guys took a step back this past year. Joe Osevet, tight end spot, I think those guys took a step back this year. So he's going to have to find the right balance of guys that can recruit the Southeast, that can go out west and try to poach a player or two. And that's going to be the difficult part for Josh Heupel, is because Tennessee, I thought, did have some pretty decent recruiters on their staff, but it got themselves into a lot of trouble that time around. So I'm interested to see if he brings three or four guys from UCF, guys that he trusts. I think Josh Heupel, if you got him in a room by himself, he'd probably say, "Yeah, man, I don't like recruiting too terribly much, but hopefully he can get himself a staff around him." Does he bring Cody Burns, who he had just hired at UCF to be the wide receiver coach, the former Auburn quarterback / wide receiver? Does he bring Glenn Ellaby on the offensive line? I'm very interested to see, because I don't think you're going to see any kind of the Tennessee staff that was there. You might see one or two holdovers, and that's it, Joe, which, is not going to help when we're already a month and a half almost into the new year.
Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Trey, you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago before Pruitt was fired about – depending on how this goes, if you're Tennessee, do you give Lane Kiffin a call at Ole Miss? And, it doesn't appear that that's happened with Danny White. If that's the case and no call was made, do you think Danny White made a mistake on that front?
It's always hard. I mean, you talk with folks, you see that Lane Kiffin has put some overtures out that, maybe he'd be interested in the job. I think Danny White was put into a spot where, first off, he trusts whatever the Parker search firm put in front of him. I also think that the Lane Kiffin thing, I don't know if it was more, Lane Kiffin could not have gotten any more money from Ole Miss because he had just signed that extension. I don't know if it's actually signed or not, but he had just gotten more money for assistance and himself and more years. Look, Lane Kiffin would have been fun in Knoxville, but would Lane Kiffin have been a good spot for when you've got the NCAA parked right there on Cumberland Avenue looking at your university? I don't know. That's the hard part about that. The fact that he didn't receive a phone call. A couple boosters were interested in Lane Kiffin. I know it would have probably sold a lot of tickets next year and the year after that. You know what? They probably would have been pretty decent. I just don't think Danny White wanted to go down that road. I think that's why you didn't see Hugh Freeze get a call either. And also make things interesting with Chadwell. Just a couple guys to kind of link up, same type of offense, type of scheme, and they don't get calls, and also same guys with some NCAA background stuff.
So, Trey, what do you think Josh Heupel's ceiling is?
8-4. You know, maybe 9-3 if you catch Florida or Georgia in a bad year. I just don't see it right now, Joe. We're not talking about playing, you know, Memphis every year. We're not talking about that UCF schedule he's going to have to bring in, you know, an offensive line that's big but also quick enough, you know, to hit the edge. This one's going to be really interesting to see how he can put together. Like, if you look at Tennessee's schedule, like, next year, you know, I would expect Tennessee to open the year 3-0, you know, when you have to throw in Tennessee Tech, Pitt, and Bowling Green. And even that Pitt game is kind of up in the air. But then, you know, you look at it, and there's an opportunity for Tennessee to maybe be 5-2, something like that, 4-3. But other than that, I don't see him getting past the 8-win mark, 7-8 win mark, in the next 3 to 4 years. And then are we in this cycle again where fans are just upset and, you know, they're tired of waiting? But I think the big thing you have to realize is you're going to have to suck it up and give him at least 2 years of a mulligan, because I think they're about to self-impose. I think they're either going to self-impose or they're going to get hit pretty hard from the NCAA. And I would think Tennessee would rather go that route. Okay, let's try to put this out here penalty-wise, violation-wise, and see if we can kind of manage how bad this thing's going to be. And also, I think that's why they put that in this contract, where if anything goes down with the NCAA or they get any kind of postseason banning, it's an additional year in this contract. So there's a lot of variables to get back around to your question of ceiling. I just don't know when the actual clock is going to start because of maybe potential NCAA violations.
Trey, last thing for you here. As you look at Danny White, I mean, the move's made a week ago today, and it's universally, I mean, across the board, people love the hire of Danny White. Now that it's gone this way with Heupel, and to your point, we'll see what it looks like on the field and how it goes. Do you think Tennessee fans, the view of Danny White has changed and shifted now that Heupel has been the hire?
I think when Danny White took the job, everybody was under that assumption that this is kind of the guy that, okay, look what he's doing in his right hand, and he's doing that where you don't pay attention to what he's doing in his left hand. You know, he's going to sneak a really good hire up on you. You know, he's going to go out for that big fish. I think the coaching search-wise, I think people were probably a little bit let down in Knoxville when it comes to Heupel, but I think people also hopefully understand just how hard of a sell it is for the job. And a caveat to that is, again, I'll say it, I don't think they offered the job to enough people. But when we really break it down and look at it, I think people will be excited about Danny White in the future because he kind of reminds me like a Bruce Pearl as an athletic director. He's kind of outgoing. Yep. He's going to gain support. He's going to raise money. But, you know, it's been such a crazy 10 days. I don't think people have really had an opportunity to sit back and realize what Danny White could bring to the university. And I think he's the type of guy that the university side of this, academia, along with the athletic department side, they got to meet in the middle somewhere. And I think Danny White was a good hire for them. I don't know how he will be graded on this first coach. We'll see. But I got a feeling that he's going to be around anyways if Josh Heupel doesn't work out or he can make the next hire. So, you know, I think this time he went safe. If it doesn't work out, how much does he put himself out on the ledge the next time around? But I think folks are still liking the new car smell with Danny White, even though they ended up with his old coach, you know, over a span of 5 days.
I like that. And, you know, Bruce Pearl, be careful now with the NCAA investigation going on. There's some comparisons you don't want, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, he's just outgoing. He's, you know, you look at the press conference yesterday, he's calling out media members, for putting out stories about the hire. He's, you know, talking about the negativity, which, you know, whatever. And I don't think – I think Tennessee fans are going to give them a pass for the first couple months of kind of taking shots at them. But it's like, okay, Danny White, we've been dealing with this stuff for 13 years. You've been on the job for 8 days. So please don't try to compare yourself to where Tennessee fans have been over that time. And I think they'll take that approach, give them a little pass. But then, you know what, hey, buddy, you need to back it down a little bit here. You know, we got a long way to go till spring, feels like, and then the fall season, which we don't know what it's going to look like when it comes to COVID and whatnot. So, Danny White, just do your job as athletic director now, I guess, and leave social media to the Tennessee fans. Like, you know, that's all I can think of, Joe.
That's right. They're very good at it.
Yes, they are. Very well equipped on the social media front for Tennessee fans. Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Trey, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Guys, I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to sleep sometime in the next 24 hours. Yeah. So you guys be good. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Trey. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Trey had to say there and talk about what he brought up to end that segment. What is Danny White getting himself into with this Tennessee fan base? Is he kind of teetering on some dangerous water? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Vols, the hire of Josh Heupel, Danny White, how he handled the press conference yesterday. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic joining us at 9 o'clock to get into that as well. So looking forward to that conversation with him. And as always, we'll take your reaction to the Heupel hiring on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we heard it a little bit in the introductory press conference for Danny White last Friday, talking about the negativity at times around the program and how, you know, if you've got problems, text it to your buddy rather than putting it out on social media. And we talked about not wanting any leaks in the hiring process. And that obviously happened Tuesday night as it was announced that Josh Heupel was emerging as the top candidate for the job, Austin Price reporting that. And then yesterday at the press conference, he circled back on the negativity. Obviously, there was some negative reaction to the hiring of Josh Heupel online yesterday. And Danny White brought that up in the press conference yesterday as he was introducing the head coach. Here's what Vols Athletic Director Danny White had to say. Oh, well, we don't have that clip quite yet. We'll play that right now. Here's what Vols Athletic Director Danny White had to say.
Hey, Danny. Kellyanne Stitch with WATE-TV here in Knoxville. Well, in your introductory press conference, you preached positivity to fans. With the new hire as head coach, there's been some negative responses on Twitter. But what is your message to fans today?
Some of you are awesome. Some of you are failing right now. Why would we be negative? The future of this place is unbelievably exciting and positive, and I couldn't be more excited to be here. And I see nothing but great days ahead. So I know that our fans are extremely passionate. I love that. I can't wait to get to know many of them and work with them. I can't get to know them all because there's so many of them. But the idea of turning your passion into something that you love into negativity, I don't understand that. But I think that this athletics department has been through some challenges. And again, we have really great days ahead. And I think that people will see that and start having some more fun with their Vol fanship.
So, look, I hear what Danny White is saying there, and I recognize what he's trying to do. There's a lot of car salesmanship going on right there from Danny White, and you're trying to get this the attention turned around on this program, the image turned around on this program. I think if you're Danny White, you kind of got to know what you're walking into and realize what this has been like the last 13, 14 years. You're dealing with an extremely passionate fan base, an extremely large fan base, and I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to look at this objectively and say, all right, you just hired the guy from UCF whose record has gotten worse every single year that he's been a head coach. If you can't understand why there's going to be some negative reaction to that, I don't know if you're being realistic with yourself. Now, you're Danny White. You're the athletic director. You obviously know Josh Heupel better than any Tennessee fan does, so you have that in your back pocket. But I think acting like, you know, this is all going to be sunshine and roses, you're not quite living in reality if you're Danny White in this circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, he was specifically asked about it. So sometimes that's worth mentioning. You know, if you're just coming out and unprompted saying something like that.
Which he did do in the introductory press conference.
Yes. I have a bigger problem with that. He was asked, what's your message? But still, the message should not be some of you are failing. No, man. It's only been a week, and he's already made one of what will probably be the two biggest decisions of his tenure, because I do agree with Trey that I think he'll get another chance to hire a coach. He just had to hire one in a week. But a week in, I'm sure, he's talked about the lack of sleep and flying around, his kids flying back to Florida to go to school, all this stuff, crazy week. So now you have time. Study up on what's been going on at Tennessee, man, because, yeah, they have every right to feel how they do, and you cannot realistically. You can talk it up, say he was in your number one choice, tell us about his offense. Oh, that's great. But don't sit here and tell fans that they should just be excited about this. I mean, realistically, you just don't say anything because most people are not excited about it, and they shouldn't be. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. And look, it's easy, I think, to see how this is going to play out. Just looking at it from our standpoint, like yesterday we're talking about this hire, and you look at Josh Heupel, and the question is, all right, how in a six-day period have you gone from all the names that, you know, everybody expects to be out there on the list to Josh Heupel? As Trey Wallace brought up in the last segment, it's not like if you waited until tomorrow to make this hire or even over the weekend into Monday, like, if you're offering this job to Josh Heupel, Josh Heupel is taking this job. It doesn't matter if you offer it to him now, you offer it to him next month. Josh Heupel is taking this job. It just feels like he pulled the plug on this way too quickly. And maybe he goes through this process and everybody from Lane Kiffin to Gus Malzahn and all these different names that we feel like should have been on the list, maybe they all say no. And maybe you end up with Heupel anyway. But do that. Like, take that risk and go get your man after that. Like, it feels like Heupel was way too much of a priority in terms of the timeliness of this to me and I think a lot of Tennessee fans.
I wonder if there's sort of a clock. Well, first of all, I wonder if, like, you know, Dante Plowman's like, yeah, you got a week, buddy. Good luck. You know, probably not. I do wonder if there's a clock in Danny White's head that says, okay, you're right, and you like what you just said. He knows he's got Heupel if he needs that. He knows he's got his safety higher in Heupel. But if it's like 2 weeks in, is there no way you can even try to say, you know?
Yeah.
You can't anyway.
Well, and the other part of that is, National Signing Day is next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that's part of it as well. Now, I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make at this point.
I mean, it's the second signing day now, so it's very different than with the early signing period that it's less critical.
Right.
But still, it's still important. But I agree. I totally agree. Kick every tire available. And of course, you know this coach. I mean, I think if there's a positive here, it's like if he did it this quickly, then he must see positives that, you know, from the outside, it's like, yeah, there's some red flags. Obviously, he was there with him the whole time. So, maybe some of those explanations carry water, but I agree. I mean, I think it's just it's there's no way to sell it as your first pick because you would have just brought him right away. And there are other good coaches out there. Some I know weren't contacted who I believe would have been better hire than Josh Heupel.
So how much patience are Tennessee fans going to have with Josh Heupel and Danny White throughout this process? That's going to be a critical question to monitor here in the next few years as this unfolds with Heupel as head coach. As always, we'll take your response as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next, but first, I've got a word from FanDuel, and that's right, the 55th edition of the big game. You can celebrate that with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get a 55-1 odds when Kansas City takes on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's right, you can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February the 7th. I've been betting all season long on football on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's been so great to use. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours. They've got a range of betting options, great odds boosts and specials, everything you want. FanDuel Sportsbook has it. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
This is going to be a collective effort, guys. Let's acknowledge that right now. For as much as I respect Josh Heupel, it's going to take a little time. So the first thing that Tennessee can do is establish clear expectations to the fan base. Guys, this is not going to be built overnight. Let's stop with the preseason interviews that we've all had to do in Knoxville saying, hey, this is the year. I'm thinking 9-3. Y'all, no. It's not happening. Let's reestablish the short-term expectations.
That was Greg McElroy from the SEC Network, former Alabama quarterback, weighing in on what the expectations should be for the Tennessee football program moving forward, particularly in the short term. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexrode, impassioned stuff there from McElroy.
Yeah, shut up, Greg. They're going 11-1. Everybody knows it. Come on.
Keep your Bama bangs to the side, friend.
Yeah.
You stay out of the way of Tennessee football.
Take it back to Bama, McElroy. I don't think, you know, now it will get there. It will get there. I mean, it will inevitably get to, okay, more and more. You'll start liking what you're thinking because everybody, I mean, in the preseason, everybody looks great. You know, the
offense springs eternal, my friend.
Yeah. But there's no, like, there's very little, whoa, how good could this team be next year with Josh Heupel right now from the Tennessee fan base? I mean,
they are like three good players out of the transfer portal away from Vol Twitter thinking they're going to 9-3.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean they keep losing. Their whole team's in Oklahoma now.
That's the roller coaster.
I was about to, like, you know, we call, you know, Knoxville right now, UCF Knoxville. Basically, you know, in Norman, Oklahoma, it's the University of Tennessee at Norman. There's a whole bunch of Tennessee. Eric Gray apparently going to be with the Sooners now. Goodness.
Good players.
Lincoln Riley just coming in, snatching up all the talent.
Boy, he's going to be fun to watch in that offense, too. Henry To'oto. By the way, Chase. I'm trying to remember. Okay. I think he said Henry Twa-ah yesterday. Love you, Chase. You're still my bachelor winner.
Oh, boy.
But To'oto, any chance he comes back? I mean, he's enrolled.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that Josh Heupel's glimmering, inspiring personality gets Henry to stick around? That would be big.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
I think there's a chance.
Okay.
If you're him, like, how much does it matter where you play next year? You're going to be a pretty high draft pick. He'll be a first or second rounder.
Yeah, well, I mean, winning matters to some people.
I mean, I guess. Just get through the year, get to the league, man. That's my advice for Henry To'oto.
Yeah. Yeah, and
or twa.
Maybe what he does. Twa. Twa. Et toi? Et toi, Henry? Oh, but since we're on Darren Donick and Chase, listened to a lot of the show yesterday. Great show, guys. If anybody is listening to this. But my gosh, the Josh Heupel positivity. Especially from Willie. Now, Willie is the level-headed, you know, trends positive on a lot of things, which I appreciate. But I'm listening to Willie, and I'm like, okay, the Vanderbilt guy loves
really
this.
Really excited about
that. I mean, I have to think that way. Like, the Vanderbilt guy loves this.
Well, look, it wasn't just Willie. I got like six text messages yesterday from Vanderbilt fans of mine or friends of mine. They're like, it's a pretty good hire, huh? What about it? I was like, yeah, I'm sure you think it's great.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah, yeah. the Vanderbilt. What? How's our poll doing, by the way? I'd like to know how our poll's doing.
Well, with that in
mind. The Vanderbilt reaction is, they're feeling all right.
Now, the poll question of the day, which, by the way, Joe Rexrode takes credit for this question today. At 102.5 The Game on Twitter, of the two options, which SEC school made the better coaching hire this offseason? Was it the Vols with Josh Heupel, was at Vanderbilt with Clark Lee. Right now, Joe, Clark Lee with 51% of the vote, Josh Heupel with 49% of the vote. That is about as tight as it gets, my friend.
Interesting.
Great poll question there, Joe.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Listen, I steal Robbie's joke. I contribute a poll question. It's fair. We're all even now.
Yes.
Voting on that is interesting because you could be a Vols fan who hates the Heupel hire, but you still hate Vanderbilt so much that you vote for your guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's also
a lot of different ways to vote on this.
Heupel has also been a head coach. I mean, he's 28-8.
Yep.
So Clark Lee has not been a head coach. Now, Clark Lee, from everyone you talk to, and I mean everyone, they think he's going to be a superstar head coach. They think he's going to be really good. I remember we had Rick Neuheisel on and like basically said this guy's can't miss with Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. But he has not been a head coach yet up until this point. So I think maybe that factors in as well.
It does. You know, there are certainly – like I think you should, especially if you're Tennessee, I think that you should have a proven head coach as your head coach. But we have seen plenty of coordinators who have gone on to be good as head coaches. I mean, at some point they have to get a chance. I also think fit is part of that question. And to me, if I was voting, I would vote Clark Lee because I think he fits perfectly at Vanderbilt. And I just don't think Josh Heupel fits at Tennessee. I don't think what he does, I don't think he'll recruit well enough, and I don't think what he does is going to work. I mean, again, at Tennessee, you need to get to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Hey, prove me wrong. You know, prove me wrong. I think that it's ill-fitting, and that's where I would make the distinction between those two.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Vols fans still think the program is equal to Georgia and Florida, but right now it's on the level of Vanderbilt. It'll be 5 to 10 years before things get back to the way it needs to be. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't think most Vols fans think that at all. I don't think that at all, and I think this was – even though, see, people being disappointed in this hire, I think some people are mistaking it for, oh, you still think you're a national championship program. No, I don't think that's it for realistic people. I just think you still, even for what you really are, could have done better than this. This is another one of those two things being true. Pat Forty, who Vols fans love.
Yes.
Almost as much as Dan Wolcom. He wrote a column about this hire, which was, I will forever, and I've argued with him in person. I've argued with him at the bar. We just will never agree with this about this. He thinks that like the Tennessee fandom is a deterrent to coaches. I think that's absolutely false, and I have not heard a coach yet say that. Like the dysfunction, the administration, the boosters, all that. Yes, sure. The fans. Now the fans are a draw for coaches, but in his piece here, some numbers that I was like, whoa. Tennessee, from 2008 to 20, SEC winning percentage, 339.
Yeah, that's about right.
That stunned me. I mean, Kentucky and Vanderbilt are the only ones lower. And obviously we know, 15 of 16 in Florida, 9 of 11 Georgia, 14 straight Alabama, all that stuff. But 339 in the SEC, that doesn't surprise you?
No.
When I saw that, I was like, gosh, I figured they'd be in the fours at least.
No.
Pushing 500? No.
And that's why this idea that Danny White keeps throwing out there, patience and not being negative. Good luck with that, buddy.
Well, see, but yes. Well, you don't say that. I do think, though, back to the point, of a minute ago, this unrealistic thing, I think the expectations have been reduced.
Yeah.
Right? And I think even since Butch Jones, when it was like, yeah, go win the SEC, and now it's like, okay, we'll take 8 wins. Give me 8, give me 9, ever? You know? I mean, it's changing. And I think most Vols fans are realistic about that.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben from Brentwood text in, one thing that made me feel good from the press conference, Heupel mentioned adapting the offense and defense to the players' abilities. That was the frustrating part with Pruitt. He didn't adapt to his players, especially JG. We will see if that actually happens, but I was glad that Heupel mentioned it.
I thought that was a good moment from Heupel in the presser, and I do think Heupel offensively will do it. He's had different kinds of quarterbacks, as he mentioned. That's a good thing. Did Pruitt not adapt to Garantano, or did he not adapt to the idea of not playing Garantano?
I think probably more the case. I mean, I don't know how well you can adapt to pick six after pick six, but Maybe take him out a little bit sooner?
maybe try another quarterback. Oh, wait. We never practiced with any of these other quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, look, there's one thing that we know will be better. They will look like a team that can throw the ball.
I mean, it can't get a whole lot worse.
Touchdowns. I tell you, here's the thing. And it really doesn't matter what your offensive system is. This is a truth across any system. Josh Dobbs was, to me, a huge part of why Butch Jones did have back-to-back 9-win seasons. If you find the great quarterback, then that can make up for a lot of things.
Yeah.
So if a Bailey, a Salter, a Hooker, whatever, I mean, if one of those guys is ready to really be excellent, then right there, you've got something you haven't had. So there's my little sunshine dose for you, Robbie. I believe in you.
It took you to
We're hyped, baby. We're hyped for Heupel.
We are hyped for Heupel here on the show. When we come back, it's that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours. Ryan Porth in the questions chair today. As always, we love your participation on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both in life and in sports, and then yell at each other on how we would respond to said scenarios. Ryan Porth in the questions chair this week. Got a lot of good questions in over the last couple of weeks. Joe Rex Road did a great job. I was okay last week. Wasn't my best effort. Porth?
It was a fine effort.
Let's see what you got effort. This week. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm born ready.
Perfect.
Born ready. Would you guys like to go sports or non-sports to start?
Let's go non-sports.
All right. So, obviously, with Danny White and Josh Heupel going to Knoxville, that has prompted the joke of UCF Knoxville. And that then prompted this yesterday from Joe Rexrode.
Can we somehow switch it around and make it like KFC? It's a big old bucket of football.
So a hilarious moment in yesterday's show. So the joke about KFC, a lot of talk about McDonald's bags with Jeremy Pruitt, has me asking, what is your guilty pleasure fast food restaurant?
Oh, man. There's several. Joe, would you like to start?
Well, okay, I'm going to come back at you. So any fast food restaurant would count? Because some fast food restaurants are considered good. And so, like, you know, like guilty pleasure to me says it's kind of bad.
Right.
You know?
Yes. I would lean towards the
okay.
bad side.
All right. Well,
either it tastes good and it's just bad for you, or it's just overall bad.
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. And this is actually – this is part of why coming up on 19 years of marriage with Katie, because early in our marriage, we said, listen, we both love Taco Bell. But when one of us wants to go to Taco Bell, it is up to the other one to say, no, we will not go to Taco Bell. But I must tell you, I can crush some Mexi Melts and some Chalupas. I don't do it a lot, but I can put down some T-Bell,
you know,
with the fire sauce.
They've changed up that menu a little bit. Have you been since the menus changed? Maybe some items off the list for you.
Well, the Mexi Melts are not.
They're still there.
They're not everywhere, though.
I know.
They're not everywhere. And also, they got rid of, like, the bean burrito thing.
Mexican pizza's no longer there.
Yeah, I love the Mexican pizza. God.
Taco Bell, quickly
get off
the list.
Taco Bell?
As long as they don't remove the soft tacos.
Yeah, I mean, surely to God, yeah. Taco Bell's not going to take tacos off the list.
I mean, I like the Doritos. Yeah, that'd be tough. I like the Doritos tacos. See, you guys probably aren't old enough to remember when they had the bacon menu. You remember this?
No.
You guys are like little kids. They had about a year or two where they had like three bacon-type taco things.
Really?
It was pretty,
wow.
Pretty sweet. But yeah, so usually we talk each other out of it, and it's probably helped. Well, it might have helped us live longer, too. But every once in a while, you get into that drive-thru and load up.
I'm going to go with Cookout, because there's nice. A lot of different options you can have. It's cheap. And I find myself there probably more frequently than I would like to admit, but it's open late. I mean, Cookout, it's got everything. So Cookout's my guilty pleasure.
All right.
Sure.
All right. I will go with the Big Mac at McDonald's.
Ooh, that's nice.
Big Mac and
classic.
Fries. I can't remember the last time I had a Big Mac and fries, but It is a classic.
So you would have signed with Tennessee. I mean, if Pruitt was the coach, you'd have been there. No questions.
Hook, line, sinker.
Yeah, no questions asked for Ryan Poehr. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian texts in and says his guilty pleasure, Chipotle. How do you,
is that
Chipotle?
Fast food?
See, Chipotle.
Okay, this
is
brings
you
up.
Pronounce the L.
Chipotle.
Chipotle.
This brings up again the
that's like high
of,
quality fast food, isn't it?
Well, doesn't fast food have to have a drive through?
Yes.
Because I think Five Guys, I don't count it. I don't think, like, I love Chipotle, but I don't consider it fast food.
I agree.
I think we got to draw the line there. Sorry.
It's good stuff though.
What was the you got the text before that? Oh, we can
we'll
read
do that
later.
Later
in the show.
We'll do that.
Lovely.
Later.
A lovely text.
All right. Shifting to sports. This week was the one-year anniversary of Kobe's death. We also saw Tom Brady make it to his 150th Super Bowl, according to Patrick Mahomes. So would you rather have Kobe shooting the last shot or Tom Brady orchestrating a final drive? If you were the head coach of a basketball or football team, which one would you pick?
That's a good one. I will start with this. I'll go Kobe from this standpoint. You can pretty much do everything yourself. Like, if you got Kobe, hey, I've got the ball. I'm going one-on-one. Good luck stopping me. Brady, as great as he is and as much confidence as I would have, you still need a lot of other people doing their jobs, right? Kobe, you pretty much got it all in your hands. For that reason, I'm going Kobe Bryant.
So there's all these highlight tapes.
Let me know where you're going.
No, you don't. So you got all these highlight tapes of, like, Kobe's game-winning shots, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, you know. There's also, you could do a huge tape of all the shots that they missed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 50% is great in basketball, right? I feel better than 50% on Tom Brady leading a drive. So, no, I'm not going against Tom Brady. I'm with you,
He's
Tom.
He's coming around, Brady.
Tom, terrific. I'm going with you, buddy.
Loves him some Brady.
I 100% agree with Robbie on this one. Give me Kobe one-on-one. Last second, I'll take Kobe.
I guess you guys are Brady haters.
The roles are reversed. Ryan Poehr, non-sports?
Non-sports. All right, so Joe has had some trouble with his computer this week, specifically with the letter T, that key on the keyboard. So what would make you more mad? Your Wi-Fi going down while you're on deadline, or your home's air conditioning unit going out on a 100-degree day?
Ooh.
All right, I'll start. So I'm going to take you back to, and I don't remember the exact year or the exact game, but I was at Breslin Center a few years ago covering a Michigan State basketball game. You're on tight deadline, and my Wi-Fi went out. And actually, if I could search tweets, I would find my tweets. I later tweeted like several apology tweets because I was screaming F-bombs so loud. And it's like the crowd was mostly gone, but there were like still some little kids hanging around. And like a couple of my, colleagues were like, dude, you all right? You good? And I was smashing.
A wellness check on Rex Road.
Smashing the table. I have had, and in fact, I've had meltdowns at NCAA tournaments in the media room, like smashing the table in anger. It's not even close. I mean, you can hose yourself off if you need to, but Wi-Fi on deadline? No way, man.
Oh, well, look, I love hot weather. Like, 95 degrees, 96 degrees, it's cool with me. Like, I don't know if in the house I would have the same appreciation for it, but, yeah, the Wi-Fi going out would drive me nuts. On deadline, I mean, I think I would hurl my laptop across the ice if that happened at a hockey game.
Now I'm rooting for this to happen and to be there at the time.
Did you smash the letter T, Joe, at Breslin Center?
That's many laptops ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is a pretty new laptop. That's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, people around here are too soft about the heat. It's, 96, 97 degrees. It's fine, man.
On a 100-degree day, though?
What's your body temperature?
I don't care.
It's like 98.6, right? The natural state of living, baby. Just get it 98 degrees.
Give me the Wi-Fi issues rather than the AC issues.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, last question. This is sports. Deshaun Watson in the news. Trevor Lawrence likely the number one pick to Jacksonville. So which of those two would you rather have as your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years? Two Clemson quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, man. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Deshaun Watson because You know what he is. He is really, really good. You know you can win a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson. I think he's an elite quarterback in the NFL. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be, I don't know if every bit as good, but I think he's going to be really good at the NFL level. I think he'll be a Super Bowl winning type of quarterback. But I know that from Deshaun Watson. His ability to affect the game, even when the weapons around him are not great. I mean, that offensive line this year sucked. The receivers with DeAndre Hopkins out of there, not the same. I'm going Watson.
So Watson has had an ACL.
Yes.
10 years from now, he'll be 37, 38.
I don't think he's – is he 27 already?
No, he is 25.
Yeah. Okay, so he'll be 35. I'm basically talking through the other side, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
Now I do I go back to Ryan Leaf. No doubt that dude's going to be amazing. But I really, really strongly feel Trevor Lawrence is going to be at least really good. But we know what Watson is. I gotta go there.
Okay, I'm in agreement with you guys.
Sorry, Trevor. So. Enjoy Urban.
Trevor Lawrence haters. Maybe that's part of it, too. Like, you're in Jacksonville. Now, I'll say this. Of all the dysfunction the Jags have had, where would you rather be right now? Houston or Jacksonville? I think it's a great question. I'd probably go Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that franchise. Everything that's happened in Houston the last couple of years.
The momentum is definitely going in two different directions in those two markets.
Yeah, you got Coughlin out of there. You got Marone. With Saban's coach fix-it repair shop.
I mean, I don't love the Urban Meyer thing in Jacksonville. I'm not convinced that that's going to work out very well at all. I still think I'd probably take Jacksonville over Houston right now.
Yeah. I mean, you got, like, the vice president everybody wants fired and, you know, revolting. Bad stuff. Bad ownership.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Going back to the fast food question, got a texture that says, Whataburger is the guilty pleasure. Apparently getting some in Tennessee
soon.
It's a
good burger.
So, okay, so Whataburger.
Really? I think so.
Yeah, there's one coming.
Yeah.
In Nashville?
I can't remember if it's Nashville or not.
Or it's not far. Yeah. It's mid-state, but I don't know about Nashville. Is it Andersonville?
No, trust me, I'd know if it was that.
You'd know if it was that. See, okay, so, okay, here's the thing with Whataburger. Now, it is fast food, but that's one of those high, like, could that be a guilty pleasure one?
Yeah.
Because okay. Because, like, everyone loves
it,
because
it's not very good, but yeah.
Not everyone loves it.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Some people call it cardboard.
I mean, I think it's good. I think anybody who thinks it's better than In-N-Out Burger is crazy. But
well, then I'm crazy.
All right, so there are people who think that.
Five Guys is better than Whataburger.
But it's not fast food.
I know. Still better.
Yeah.
Well, you have people that will vehemently disagree.
I'll make you a green pepper burger at home. That's better than any of that.
Really?
There you go. Yeah.
Joe Rexrode, the chef, ladies and gentlemen.
I cook a lot.
That does it for our edition.
We should have a burger contest because I feel like I make some pretty good burgers too.
Yeah.
Okay.
The backyard burger with some cheese and bacon and some Memphis Huey's burger sauce or spice in there.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I used to make them with, I haven't done it in a while, like put a cheese ball in the middle of the burger.
Oh.
But it's got to be a pretty big burger.
Our buddy Hibbs on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, texts in and says, Whataburger coming to Donaldson and Madison soon. So could have two of them.
Oh, wow. Donaldson. Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Just made Ryan Porth's day.
Quick breaking news from Schefter. So Watson has officially requested the trade, and the coaching hire has not and will not alter Watson's thinking, according to Adam Schefter.
Wow.
So, hey, got David Culley, though. Jack Easterby. Good luck.
So Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade. How about that? Well, when we come back, we'll get back into the Vols. We'll talk about the breaking news with Watson a little bit later in the show. Bruce Feldman will join us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.